I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus. If you have your Bible open, to the book of Exodus. We'll begin in the 12th chapter in just a moment with verse 29. Living a while gives one perspective on life and ministry, God and the things of God. And I thank God for that perspective. It may be called the broad view or the long look, but perspective. And I'm praying that these days will be the greatest days in the life of this church and this ministry. I believe that's possible. I truly believe that's possible. But if so, it has to become personal to all of us. Every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, every usher, every greeter, every seating shepherd, every choir member, every orchestra member, every section leader, everything we're involved in, all of it, we have responsibility, and we must be at our best at that responsibility. I want to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want you to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think all of us have some insight as to whether or not we're growing and developing as Christians. And so be concerned about that and what it takes to become a spiritual person. You can attend every church service and still not become a spiritual person. And my desire is to be a spiritual person, allowing the Lord to have His way in my life. My desire for you is the same thing, but I can't do that for you. You must do that in your own walk with God, you and the Lord being one together. And that's what I'm certainly praying for. If you have your Bible open to Exodus chapter 12, I'm going to bring you to an unusual subject. We're walking into something here in this particular part of Scripture that is one of the most moving scenes in all of history. 430 years, God has been planning, in a sense, this one night, but longer than 430 years because He's from everlasting to everlasting. It's my conviction that everything that happens, God knows. He's aware of it. He's never taken by surprise. But as we enter into this story, I want you to pay very close attention to the action that's taking place here and the reaction between the Egyptians and the people of God, and see the hand of God in all of it. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Verse 30, Exodus chapter 12. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, the kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. It came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, there are lots of things I'd like to call your attention to, but I want you to look in verse 33. The Bible says, and the Egyptians were urgent. I want you to mark that word urgent. Upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. They thrust them out. They were urgent. As a matter of fact, the Word of God tells us in God's instruction through Moses to the people, they were to be ready with staff in hand at a moment's notice. When God said, go, go. No hesitation. No pausing. Nothing to delay. Everything moving out when God said, it's time, this moment, go. Because he knew he was working the heart of the Pharaoh and the Egyptians. He knew he was preparing the world around them for that instant, that moment when they were to leave Egypt. Now, can you imagine just from what God tells us and repeats here for us, 430 years all landing on one day and one night. 430 years. There were things they were to do leading up to that. So many days before, as far as what they were eating and preparing for the Passover. I hope all of you know the story about the lamb and the bloodshed of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel. In the form of a cross, of course, centuries before Roman crucifixion, before Jesus Christ would come to earth and become a man without ceasing to be God and bleed and die on a cross. But there we have this wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus coming to bleed and die for our sins as he paid our sin debt. But I want you to try to sense at least the heart of these Egyptian people as they spoke about it. They rise up in the night, verse 30 says. He and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt. Think of this. Think of our own city. For there was not a house where there was not one dead. And so they came with urgency and said, now, get out, go, this moment, urgent, go. And God uses the word urgent. And they left. Now the Lord tells us in this story concerning this night, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. I want to speak to you for just a little while on this subject, and I'd like for you to write it down. I'd like for all of you to write it down. It is the urgency of certainty. The urgency of certainty. When I started out as a Christian, I was 14 years old. I didn't take it very seriously, honestly. I made a profession of faith. I really believe I came to know the Lord as my Savior, but I just sort of found which way the stream was drifting and got in it until the Lord worked in my life in a big way when I was 17 years old. Through circumstances, through other Christians, through outstanding Christian people. I spoke with a lady yesterday who had a great influence on my life as a teenager. I've said to my wife many times through the years something about that particular woman. Now, she was in a funeral service that Brother Roger conducted just the other evening, but God used her in a mighty way in my life. She helped me get into a place where God could speak to me and deal with me. And I became more serious about the things of God. What I found through these years is that many people that you watch and you notice easily that their faith has changed their lives. But you notice there are many people who profess to have faith and it doesn't seem to have changed their lives. So I speak to you on the urgency, not haste, not some sort of tyranny, but the urgency of certainty. In other words, knowing certainty, these things are so certain, you're so convinced of it, it's so certain, it is a truth that's taken hold of your life, and it's brought a sense of urgency to the way you live. That's what we find here. Of course, it comes from the direction of the Pharaoh, but God was in all of this. He was in all of this. He was breaking the yoke of Egyptian bondage, attacking the Egyptian gods, and winning victory after victory with the plagues over Egypt. Till finally, the death of the firstborn. This is not just one person in a house. The father could have been a firstborn. The mother could have been a firstborn. Their firstborn child would be dead. Every firstborn of the animals, all dead. And so you can imagine the horror and shock that filled the whole land. And when they came rushing to Pharaoh and said, "Something's got to be done. We're all dead men. There's death everywhere. There's not a house in Egypt where there's not a death. And we must act urgently." And the word of God says it just like that. Verse 33, "And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men." I'm going to say something to you you may disagree with. You have a right to do that. It's your privilege. But if you and I truly understood and believed what we say we believe, there would be a sense of urgency on our lives that is not on our lives. On occasion, we meet someone who is taken by certainty to the point of moving with urgency. And there's a big difference in their life. The way they live, the way they talk, what they do, the way they schedule their days, what time they give to God and His Word, the attitude they have toward the things of the Lord in the local assembly. It's all affected in a dynamic way because of that certainty they've come to believe. There's a sense of urgency. But for most Christians, may I say most professing Christians, it's just take it or leave it. My wife and I were engaged in a conversation recently about some particular people, and I said, "Well, do you really believe they're truly Christians?" She said, "Well, that's between that person and God." And I said to them, "Do you think they believe you're a Christian?" And she said, "Well, I know I am. And I believe they think I'm a Christian. But do you think of certain people who show no real evidence in the priorities of their life, the design of their goals, the objectives they have as human beings, you see nothing, nothing that really gives you confidence that he or she is truly a Christian?" The urgency of certainty. I want to give you some things to think about, and I want you to write them down. Turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs, and let's begin here. In Proverbs chapter 22 with verse 17, we must hear and believe God's word. We must hear and believe God's word. Would you write that down, please? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, beginning with verse 17, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is pleasant, a pleasant thing, if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips." Would you mark that little word, pleasant? It is a pleasant thing. This is where most of the people that I know have made the greatest error. Some parents listening right now, this moment, to the sound of my voice, have made this terrible mistake. They have made all about God and church and Christianity a great duty. And there is duty. Just as there's duty in the life of a soldier, there's duty in the life of soldiers of the cross. No doubt about it. But God says there's pleasantness in this. Can you imagine the difference it would make if you bring up your children with an example by word and deed that the Christian life is the most pleasant thing imaginable? And there's joy and rejoicing. Not complaining, griping, like you're duty bound. I have to be there. I have to do this. That's not the way God designed the Christian life to be. And we are to hear the word of God. He says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall all be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord. In other words, God has spoken, put your trust in him. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge. That's a way we should approach the word of God, approach the things of God, that he's given to us excellent things. Do you imagine what we have compared to what the world does not have? The truth we've heard, the wonderful effect it should have on our lives if we truly believe it. In other words, there's no urgency because there's no certainty. When there's truly certainty, there'll be urgency. I remember the first time I walked into a church meeting and someone spoke on the second coming of Christ. I never heard it before. I was a Christian. I'd never heard it before. It was an elderly gentleman who was helping start a church, and they were renting a room in the courthouse of my hometown, and one of my high school friends invited me to go. And he had a huge board, and he had this chart strung out all across the board, and he was talking about the events concerning the Lord's return. I'd never heard anything like that in my life, never seen anything like that in my life. But he'd take the word of God and point this out from the Bible and point it out on his chart. Point another thing out from the Bible, point it out on his chart. And he just kept going through the scripture and pointing things. I sat there, and to my amazement, I thought, this is true. It's from the Bible. This is what he's saying. It's true. And he spoke with such certainty and passion about the thing. He convinced me that Jesus Christ truly is coming again. It had an effect on my life. I remember when God called me into the ministry, Evelyn and I were attending a tent crusade, and Dr. C.E. Autry was preaching. And Dr. Autry was a man well past my age, but he preached with such enthusiasm and passion. I still remember to this moment how he would stand up on one foot and thunder forth the word of God. We were under a big tent, and my, did he preach. I mean, he believed what he was saying. He spoke with certainty. And when he talked about being lost, and he talked about going to hell, and he talked about the things of God, he spoke with such urgency, you must do this now. Because the certainty brought the urgency. That's what's missing. Most of the time, we just give a little lecture about something, or we give some talk about something, or we give people the idea this ought to be the thing people do who are Christians. But we need to speak so passionately with urgency because we're convinced of such certainty there's no other way to speak. And we're not going to arouse the interest of anyone to listen without that urgency, and we don't have that urgency without that certainty. So he says, I want you to bow down. I want to give you the truth. And he says, this truth is excellent. It's counsel and knowledge you need. Then in verse 21, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Why? I have a little motto I use with so many of our young people. This is for that. And when we don't connect this with whatever that is, we disconnect the Christian life. So in this one verse, he says, that I may might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. In other words, you must know the truth so you can speak the truth to people who need to know the truth. But you won't do it unless there's certainty. Certainty. Look, please. Just reading the Bible doesn't bring that certainty. Just hearing it like I'm trying to give it to you won't bring that certainty. It must be digested, taken into your life. It must be applied by faith. You can't just listen to it and pass it by and say, well, I understand, that's good. There must be a deep and abiding certainty, or there won't be any urgency. If we knew some national calamity was coming and knew exactly when it was coming, and we were certain on a certain day it was going to happen, it would change all of our behavior, would it not? Well, God has given us His Word and precious promises in His Word. He tells us it is to make for a pleasant life. It is the most excellent thing we could know. And when we become certain of these things, being the very words of God, it will give us an urgency about the Christian life. I remember dear old Brother Hagin saying to me, I was 18 years old, he was 45. He said to me, Clarence, listen to me and listen with your heart. Don't wait till you're my age. I didn't think he was an old man. He said, but don't wait till you're my age to get all fired up about all of this. Just go like a rocket now. And I took his counsel. And Evelyn and I just joined engines and said, for the glory of God, we're going to start out like a rocket now. And we've been charged up that way since the very beginning of it. And I still have that in my heart. But it doesn't become just because I'm trying to pep myself up. I played athletics, and like many of you did, and I know what it's like to get ready for the game, and I know what it's like to hit the line with power, and I know what it's like to try to break loose from something and you work yourself up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what I'm doing and what I'm saying to you comes from the deep abiding conviction that it's the truth of God. It will never change. It remains the same. It is eternal. And because I'm certain of it, there comes an urgency about the way I'm going to live, what I'm going to do. Now, those people can seem strange to others. They may even say of people like that, well, what are they so worked up about? Because they're certain of something. Why are they so emotional about it? Because they're certain of something. If Jesus Christ said, in hell a man lift up his eyes being in torments and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said there's a real hell, a screaming, scorching hell from which to save the souls of men, I believe that. And the certainty of that should give us an urgency. And when I lose that urgency, somehow or another, I've sort of lost touch with that certainty. Right? So we must hear and believe the Word of God. I'd like you to turn with me again, and I want to bear down here in the book of Ecclesiastes. Action must be taken in life to prepare to meet God. There's no question about the fact that we're going to meet God. But in life, we must take this action. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is why I want to place such an emphasis on reaching children and as young as possible. We can't cram Christianity down the throat of a child, but we can do all we can to provide a rich Christian heritage into which we can bring children and pray they'll come to the Lord at an early age. Salvation is of the Lord. I'm not trying to create salvation, but I'm trying to give the gospel, and the Lord by His Spirit will work in the hearts of people and draw them to Himself, and they can come to know Him as Savior. But we must take action in life to prepare to meet God. We ought to bring up our children with the idea early on, listen, early on, that we have an inevitable meeting with God. It's not going to be an unpleasant thing. It's going to be the most glorious thing ever. The greatest day I'll ever live will be the day that is the last day for me on earth, because that's the day I will see Jesus Christ face to face. You believe that? You believe that with certainty? Then it ought to bring urgency on our lives. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Most often when we read that verse, we say, well, get right with God when you're young. Serve the Lord when you're young. Come to know the Lord when you're young, because if you wait till you're an old man or an old woman, you'll think how you've wasted your life. Let me tell you something. I'm convinced you cannot have all God intended for you in the growing, knowing Christian life if you postpone and postpone and postpone and postpone and postpone and postpone and just look to have some deathbed experience with God. Young people don't know what they're doing to their lives. It's not just about the days of your youth. You'll be old before you know it, all that kind of stuff. That's not it. We're all going to live as long as God lives, in heaven or in hell. Every one of us. Some live on this earth for a few years, some for many years. Some die at birth, some died 100 years old, but they all live the same time, as long as God lives. But early in life, we ought to take action to help young people and children to understand that we have this inevitable meeting with God. Look at the last words in this chapter, chapter 12. I want you to see, God says in verses 13 and 14, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." I remember when coming to this church many, many years ago as a pastor, and we had funeral service, I said, "Bring your children." Some people were in shock when I said that. You know that if you've been around here a long time. I said, "Bring your children. Bring them by the casket. Let them look into the face of the corpse. Don't hide death from them. There's a God in heaven who will give them grace and understanding, and they will understand that that's a natural part of earth and life." And we're not trying to frighten them. This is not some spook thing we're doing. But it's to understand that in life we have opportunity, and we need to take advantage of that opportunity as early as possible to be acquainted with the certainty of our inevitable meeting with God. And then as early as possible, learn to love the Lord and grow in the Lord and know the Lord and tell other people about the Lord and enjoy the Lord. Oh my, how we miss it. How we miss that. We've caught up so much in the world, we've given people the idea that they're missing out on everything if they're Christians. No, 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 no. You're missing on everything if you're not a Christian. The urgency of certainty. Wouldn't it be amazing if a young person came up through a children's ministry in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church from the earliest days of their life, having heard the Word of God and read the great stories of the Bible, at some point in time in life come to know Christ as their personal Savior, knowing the Lord Jesus has come to live in them, and then learning to love Him and know Him and grow in His grace, and make that journey through life enjoying the Lord and knowing the Lord and walking with the Lord and being certain that God is real, that He's the Creator God and He lives in us when we come to know Him as our Savior. That's God's intention. Not to bring up young people staring at all the things the world has, getting the idea that it's a terrible thing to have to be responsible to serve the Lord and be in church and all that kind of nonsense. Oh my. Is it possible to prepare your home on Saturday evening for the Lord's day? Yes. Is it possible to get everybody's church clothes out and their shoes shined, everything ready on Saturday because you're going to the Lord's Day, you're going to worship God as a family and make that a part of your life? Yes. Is it possible that you don't hang out somewhere late in the late hours of night on Saturday night because you're trying to keep yourself alert? Do you realize for nearly half a century, my wife and I have made a practice not to travel and be out late and do those kinds of things on Saturday night because we know the Lord's Day is coming and we want to be ready on the Lord's Day to hear all God has for us and to be in all God wants us to have on that day. Oh, there is certainty about this and it brings an urgency. It's not something we tack on at the end of the week. No, praise God, it's the first day of the week. And it's exciting and wonderful. And it's certain. And we have urgency out of that certainty. And we're going to meet the Lord someday. I don't want to start trying to get ready to meet Him when I'm an old person. I want to try to help people get ready to meet Him as young as possible in life. Then I want you to turn with me to the New Testament just for a moment. To the 24th chapter of Matthew. As we think about the urgency of certainty, we must remain ready at all times. Would you just follow along, please, in Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's coming victoriously. He's coming personally. He's coming suddenly. He said, be ready. But no one's going to be ready. You're not going to be ready, and I'm not going to be ready. Let's stop fooling ourselves if we're not certain that He's coming. If we don't live in that certainty, we won't have that urgency. Talk about it all you want to. Read about it. Have somebody preach about it. If we can just take it or leave it, pass it off. You see, it is such a dynamic thing. God intends for the return of Jesus Christ to be such a dynamic thing that it changes all of our lives for all life long. That every day, this may be the day it comes. And we're not hiding somewhere in a cave thinking, oh, it's a terrible, most frightening thing I ever heard of. What's going to be frightening about seeing Jesus face to face? Oh, love Him. You should meet people who say, I've loved Him all my life. As a child, my parents taught me to love Him. I came to know Him personally. As a teenager, I loved Him. I've tried to follow Him and keep myself for Him. I've tried to honor Him on the job that God gave me. And now to think I'm going to see Him, and this could be the day. That's the urgency of certainty. Ready, remaining ready to meet the Lord. Well, let me give you this. If you'll turn to the gospel according to John, in the 9th chapter, a blind man is healed. Questions were asked about the healing. Jesus answered in verse 3 of John chapter 9, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Stop trying to figure it all out and just give God the glory for what He's doing. And then he said in verse 4, this is it. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We must know. And with that knowledge, live that the night is coming. Opportunity for investing in eternity will be over. The knowledge that the night is coming. The Lord Jesus said, I want you to know this. Work the works of Him that sent you while it's day, because there's a last work day. The night is coming, the end of all opportunity. Some of us are growing old and older together. There's more going on than that. There's more going on than that. I think God will give us more wisdom, as I said earlier, more perspective on life, a greater sense of urgency. And we give Him glory for that. But there's an increasing knowledge of something that is certain. It is certain. It's inescapable. It's certain. And that certainty brings urgency. And the certainty is I'm moving in a direction and you are too, where the night is coming. And my last opportunity here will be over. Now that matters. It matters a lot. We're going to serve the Lord forever. But how we serve the Lord and the opportunity we have to serve the Lord in the millennial kingdom of Christ after death has everything to do with how we serve Him here and now. See, some people are just satisfied to get to heaven. I'm not. Well, I want to get to heaven. That's settled when I ask God to forgive my sin and by faith trusted Christ as my Savior. But my days of service will come to an end. I'm still trying to preach and study like an 18-year-old, writing things I think will be helpful, making notes, filling up notebooks, stopping, recording things on my phone, hungry and thirsty to know what God wants to say to me so I can say it to someone else. But I know the night is coming. And that brings, the certainty of that brings an urgency. If you could get that in your heart and mind, not live some sort of morose life and singing the blues all the time, thinking about death, I'm not talking about that, but just live with the certainty that our days are numbered here and we're going to have a last day. We work, but we're going to have a last day to work. And we have an urgency about it because we have that certainty. Let's serve the Lord while we can. Amen? Dear Dr. Robertson, my wife and I went to see him just before he died. We tried to see him regularly. 97 years old. The last thing he ever said to Evelyn, as I was standing by her side, in a weak, quivering voice, he said, I love you. They told him just days before that, you're dying. And he said, I didn't think it'd come this soon. But even that great general and leader of men and inspirer of so many had a last day. I want you to be taken by the urgency of certainty. It's not going to be bad for you. It's going to be good for you. It's not going to drive you crazy. It's going to make you free. The urgency of certainty. Finally, that night in Egypt, Pharaoh said, we knew something was coming. All these plagues and now death everywhere. Get them out of here. God was working. Let me tell you something. God is at work in our world right now to press upon us this great truth of certainty. He's on the throne. He's in charge. And we're to act in urgency. Allow the Lord to speak to you about that. and act on it. Let's pray together, may we? Before I pray, may this be the night in your life when there's a difference made. May this be the night in your life where there's a difference made. You don't just listen. You come to the Lord, to the feet of Jesus Christ in this altar, and let God make a difference in your life. Some of you have never really been born again. You belong to church. You've been baptized. But you know in your heart you've never been saved. I'm not trying to create doubt. I just want you to have absolute confidence in God and full assurance that you're a Christian. This is not something to be toyed with. Come to Him. Come to Him. Out of my bonded sorrow night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into Thy gladness, freedom, and light, Jesus, I come to Thee. I come to Thee. May God help us. Let's stand quietly. Father, may Thy will be done. Move mightily in our midst. May we be taken by this urgency of the certainty. May people come to Thee. May we get things lined up with Thee. May we get our priorities straight with Thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.